This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. The handshake that shook the world. Narendra Modi, the thrice-elected Prime Minister of the Republic of India, shaking the hands of Xi Jinping, the third-term General Secretary of the Chinese Communist Party. What's in a picture? I welcome Sadanand Dume of the Wall Street Journal editorial page. He's at the American Enterprise Institute, writing his column, East is East. The handshake that shook the world is less than it appears, I read. Sadanand, a very good evening to you. A quick lesson in the relations between India and the People's Republic of China since the late 1940s. I would say that my summary of the reading is hostile. Has it changed? Good evening to you.
A very good evening to you, John. Right. I mean, the column in my column in the journal was, you know, based on the fact that Narendra Modi went to the SCO summit, the Shanghai Cooperation Organization summit in Tianjin, and there was a photograph of him shaking hands with Xi Jinping of China and Vladimir Putin of Russia. And obviously, this has led to a lot of fevered speculation in our media about India and China and Russia getting together as some kind of, you know, Eurasian axis against the West. And I just wanted to point out that that was nonsense. And you're absolutely right, John, that the relationship between, maybe it hasn't always been hostile. Maybe that would be, you know, too strong a word to describe all 75 years, but it's certainly been hostile in periods. And it has been fraught in other periods. And it is a very tough relationship right now as we speak, with tens of thousands of troops arrayed across their common international boundary, which they don't call a border because they haven't been able to decide where the line runs. So it's a very serious dispute. It's been going on for a long time, as you know, you and I have discussed many times over the years. And it's kind of ludicrous to expect that just because India and the U.S. happen to be going through a bit of a downturn themselves over a trade dispute, that doesn't mean that India is just about to jump into China's arms.
India and China are the two giants of Asia, but they're going in different directions. The Chinese population is aging, and it will start to shrink soon enough because of their bloody-minded decision to impose one child and brutalize people for decades. India is growing in prosperity. Note that my next iPhone will come from India. However, I want to review how we got to this place that a handshake was everywhere, talk of leaving America. The United States and India have worked together for a long time, yes, but also there's expedience here. India faces not one adversary in Asia, China, also two, Pakistan. Who supplies Pakistan? Who funds Pakistan? Who drives the Pakistan bus?
You know, I often point out, John, that China has only two real friends in the world. One is North Korea, and the other is Pakistan, right? And if you, you know, if you ever sort of, you know, are in the mood for reading some really bad poetry, I suggest you, you know, dig up the Pakistan-China joint statements every time their two leaders meet. They describe their friendship as higher than the highest mountain and deeper than the deepest seas. It's an iron brotherhood. About 80% of Pakistani arms imports come from China. It's virtually a vassal state. It's a large part of the CPE of the China's BRI, the Belt and Road Initiative. A large chunk of that is the CPEC, the China-Pakistan Economic Corridor. And so the idea that India can grow very close to Pakistan, to China, while China is fundamentally propping up and arming and aiding in every possible way, including with intelligence support and satellite support, India's arch nemesis, Pakistan, it simply doesn't make sense.
I remind myself of the incident that happened very nearby what we're talking about. The handshake followed the Kashmir incident. And although it's not entirely transparent to me, it suggests that there was provocation and India answered. My experience with Indian national security is that not only it's first rate, but it never sleeps. And the army is extremely disciplined in all directions, so much so that you mentioned the deployment in the Himalayas. There's discipline for decades. The retired are more disciplined than the Chinese, to my knowledge. So this fantastic idea that India and China were going to work together, where did it come from? Is that Chinese agitprop? Is that India selling headlines? Because if, as your column lays out, the facts support the opposite.
I think there are a few things going on. There's a certain amount of Chinese agitprop. There's also, let's not forget, Russian agitprop. In many parts of the developing world, including in South Asia, I would say that the non-Western country that plays the propaganda game in the most sophisticated way, even today in 2025, it's not China, it's Russia. And it's partly because the Russians have a memory of doing that, going back to the time when they were a superpower, when they were the Soviet Union. So there's some of the, you saw a lot of this in Russian media outlets, places like Sputnik. I think parts of the Indian establishment would not have been unhappy with sending the kind of signal to the Trump administration and, to suggest that, look, we have options. I certainly think that that might explain some of the warmth that was displayed. But, in the end, the Indians also know that they can't push it too far, because if you noticed, Modi was there for the SCO summit, and he's attended other SCO summits in the past. It's not the first time he's attended an SCO summit, but he did not stay for that military parade that followed in a few days. That military parade, had the leader of Pakistan, it had Putin, it had Kim of North Korea, and Modi did not want to be seen in their company at that military parade.
The Shanghai Cooperation Organization, put together initially, I believe, by China, is an organization that India can easily inherit when and if China's economy breaks down, as we watch it right now. India's economy is on the upswing. So let's just for a moment speak of why the U.S. and India are natural partners. Right, I mentioned the iPhone, but a lot of very important supply chain is switching to India, and India welcomes it. Is that correct?
Well, there's a bit of a question mark over there at this moment, John, because as you know, President Trump has imposed a 50% tariff on Indian goods exports. The iPhones happen to be exempted from that, but a 50% tariff is very high. It's among the highest in the world, along with the U.S. tariff on Brazil. And unless the two countries can find a way to sort this out and sort this out quickly, I think it will put a damper on supply chains relocating to India. But, if we were having this conversation before the current trade spat had kicked in, it was certainly true that the U.S. was looking at India to integrate India into the global economy in a way where some of the more low-tech manufacturing in particular and some of the tech services would be in India, which India could do those at a competitive price. And basically the idea was to reduce our dependence on China. That's been a long-term play. I hope we get back to that. And I believe that the logic of that is quite strong, and there's a good chance that we will get back to it.
Yeah, money goes where it's treated best, and that would be Delhi, not Beijing. Sadanand Dume writing a column for the Wall Street Journal editorial page, East is East, reminding everyone there's backstory between India and China, and it's dangerous, very dangerous. Look up 1962 and what happened.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.